mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Today's a little unusual. I'm going to preach on the introit. The antiphon to today's introit said, "Have regard for the covenant, O Lord." Psalm 74:20, if you read the fine print on the insert. Next it said, "Arise, O God, defend your cause." That's Psalm 74:22. What cause does God have? And why does he need to defend it? God's cause is the gospel. His cause is to save you by grace through faith, apart from you having to do anything to earn it, to show charity to you. That's the theme you heard over and over today. The showing of charity, serving neighbor, healing, and help. His cause is to rescue the undeserving, to redeem the irreverent, to bless the cursed. His cause is to be the world's good Samaritan, to heal the hurt, to release the captives caught in the chains of transgression. Quite literally, his cause is to raise us the dead and give us life everlasting. That's the Lord's cause. To save you from your death, from pain, from eternal hell, to heal you from the injuries caused by your sins. He needs to defend that cause because, as the psalmist wrote, as you said, the downtrodden are tempted to turn back from God in shame. God needs to defend his gospel because, as you said in the intro, his foes are clamoring. Scoffers aren't shy to say that Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins is foolishness. There's a need for him to defend his cause because of the poor and the needy. His poor, the sinner, who cries out to God for help, to you and me. It can feel like God's cause isn't all that great in the midst of our turmoil. That the gospel isn't all that powerful to help us or all that useful to heal us.
Untrue.
I love that. Untrue. I like that. But it can feel that way as we walk through the valley of darkness. It can feel that way when we are right smack face in front of something that makes God feel like he's far off. And this is why the responsory says, why the psalmist says, "Oh God, why do you cast us off forever?" Speaking very honestly. It feels like you have cast us off, and it feels like you have done it forever. Where are you? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? We Christians can feel like there's no good news. Like the gospel doesn't exist. That it's all just made up. A nice fairy tale in Bible land. Like Christ's cross was all for naught. That his death and resurrection aren't sufficient to save me from my sin. Maybe someone else from their sin, but not me from mine. We can feel like God has cast us off, like his anger is smoldering and his wrath is burning against us. When you get home today, read Psalm 74 in its entirety. The sanctuaries were burned. The holy places were brought down to nothing but pillars of smoke. We can be tempted to believe that God isn't real, that the church isn't going to last. And when I say God, I don't mean some creator God, some generic in God we trust with no identity behind those words. I mean the God, the triune God revealed in Scripture, Yahweh, the Lord who saves. That God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, known only through the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son, who is the Word of God incarnate. That God, the one who came in human flesh, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary at a real time in human history that is verifiable, in the time of real men like Caesar Augustus, that history recognizes as legitimate, the Roman emperor, and Quirinius, his governor in Syria, who the real God who lived a lifetime and then died under the hands of another real man, another governor, Pontius Pilate. That God who purchased us of old with his blood, the most precious of all treasures. We can feel like that particular God, the God, has failed us. It's for this reason that we joined our voices with the psalmist this morning and said, cried out, begged, prayed, have regard for the covenant, O Lord. Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame. Arise, O God. Defend your cause. Do not forget the clamor of your foes. Very Mosaic way of speaking to the Lord, demanding he act according to his nature. Make known in our lives, right here, right now, God, your goodness, your gospel. Make known the fact that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ crucified. Or in other words, bring me peace. Rescue me from the hurts I feel in this life, from my own wrongdoing, from sin, from the transgressions that are perpetrated against me, but especially from the sins I commit against others, against you, O Lord. Now, the introit isn't the only place today we heard covenant language. The epistle lesson happens to be all about it. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, St. Paul said that even a man-made covenant cannot be annulled or added to once it's been ratified. Galatians 3:15. He's speaking about the gospel. The promises of grace that were made to Abraham and his offspring through faith, who Paul clearly says is the Christ. The offspring is Christ. He's the one who gets the inheritance, who gets the covenant, the promise that's made. And that covenant is to save us, all of us, to save you, though you sin greatly. And that covenant stands. No matter what you've done, no matter what kind of sin tally you've racked up, the covenant stands. God promised to save you not by the law, which came 430 years after his gospel promise to Abraham, but through grace by faith in Christ Jesus alone. My friends, do you think you have to please God in order to go to heaven? In order to receive his love and know his salvation in Christ Jesus, do you think you have to be a good little child and do what Dad says? Do you think you have to do something before Christ, your good Samaritan, will come to your aid and heal you and see to your well-being? You know the only thing the man who was lying half dead did was lie half dead. He was beaten and bruised and robbed. He was lying on his deathbed. That's all he did. That is to say, he did nothing. The Lord comes and shows you mercy apart from the law. He comes and shows you mercy because you can't keep the law. He comes to your aid as the Samaritan to heal you because you need it desperately, because you are lying not half dead, but all the way dead. In need of resuscitation, in need of the breath of life. Do you think you have to keep the law, the Ten Commandments, before your God will forgive you of your sins? Before you can receive the grace given through God's word and sacrament? It wouldn't be called grace if that was the case. It's grace. It's favor. He shows favor toward you. Not because you deserve it. That wouldn't be grace. That would be merit. It's a gift. And gifts are not earned. They are just received. I want you to stop thinking that way, if that's how you think. And not just me, but Christ wants you to stop thinking that way. Because he died for you. He died for you because he and his Father love you, not because you love him. He died for you to bring glory to his Father's name, who made a covenant, a promise with you and with all his people, a promise that was ratified long before the law was even in existence. He died so that you wouldn't turn away from God downtrodden and ashamed, so that the clamoring of the foes might be muffled by the message of grace freely given, preached by his pastors, so that you would know peace and be preserved by his promise. The law is not something you have to do tit for tat in order to earn God's love. That's not how parental love works. The law was given because we are sinners. It shows us our sin that we may appreciate the sacrifice, that we may appreciate the grace and gift and mercy our Father shows us. It shows us how blessed we are to see what we see in Christ Jesus. The blessing that the princes and kings of old longed to see but never did. We see through faith, as we are connected by faith to Christ's perfection, displayed on the cross for all to see throughout all time, the free forgiveness of our sins. The law is not something for you to keep, but that which has been kept for you by Christ. The law, showing you your sin exists, so that, in the words of Galatians 3:22, the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Given to you who believe. And so we said this morning, remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Psalm 74 again. See, we keep the law in response to the gospel. We praise God's name because he saved us when we didn't do anything to deserve it. That's why we keep the law, or at least strive to keep the law. Out of thanksgiving and in accord to God's with God's will. Christ Jesus has remembered us, his congregation. He purchased us with his own life. He redeemed each of us as part of the tribe of his heritage. You are God's namesake. You are, through Christ, the silencing of the scoffers, the muting of that clamoring foe. He has not forgotten your life, all that you're going through. And he sent his Holy Spirit that you may praise his name in response to the gift, like a thank you card. Thank you, Lord. He has defended his cause and does regard his covenant, his promise. He promised to save his people apart from the law, and that's just what he did. The promise of God stands. You've been made righteous by his grace. His grace displayed on the cross that there would be no mistake about it, and distributed through His Word and the sacrament, that we all would have access to it. It is true, and so we say, Amen. Amen. With gusto, we say, Amen. Amen. Right?
That's right.